attendance, and we're just, I'm glad you're here. And the fact of the matter is, the best place to be is in the house of the Lord. Amen. And also, I'm very proud of these young people. Your young people come right up here to the front. So you probably didn't know what in the world is going to happen. I better go out and see what's going to happen, right? So I don't know what's going to happen either. So, anyway, it's just a joy and a joy for me to be able to be here again in the house of the Lord tonight and be in this church. I'm very thankful to Pastor Abels for inviting me to come and preach here and kind of give a kind of addition, you might say, kind of a forerunner to our missions conference. This is not our missions conference, but we're preparing for it, and I think it's going to be probably one of the greatest missions conferences we've ever had. We are praying and planning and preparing and all that goes into it, and we'll have a great missions conference here in a couple, 3 weeks. And, of course, between now and then, it's the cross, it's the resurrection, and then it's missions, and that's what the cross and resurrection is all about. If you didn't have a cross, didn't have the resurrection, wouldn't have no need for a mission, or we wouldn't have a mission. So it all ties in together. I always enjoyed when I was pastoring a church in Colorado and we got involved in Faith Promise Missions. And by the way, it is our theme has been faith, not fear, and that's what we're planning again, not fear, but faith. Amen? Amen. But I always enjoyed when I was pastoring a church when we got involved in Faith Promise Missions. It was always the most exciting week of the year. I never got over it. It was always exciting. Our people were excited, and we had good missionary speakers and missionary evangelists and so forth to come, and it was always exciting. And when it got time for the faith promise, man, it was overwhelming. God always blessed. So I have some little proverbs. By the way, you have your Bible. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And I'm not going to have you stand tonight, but if you turn to that verse of Scripture, we'll look at it in just a few moments. But while you're turning there, let me just give you a couple of quotations that I've used over the years in regard to world evangelism and missions. And that missions, first of all, is soul winning worldwide. The mission of the church is missions. The supreme task of the church is evangelization of the world. If we're not busy in evangelizing the world, then we lose the purpose of our existence. Yeah, I know we're here to fellowship, we're to worship, but also we are to evangelize. And that little song that was sang tonight, Help Me to Win a Soul to Jesus, I never heard that one before, I don't think. I've heard some very good missionary revival courses and songs, but that was a good one. And then, of course, the choir this morning, that was exceptionally, this choir this morning. But anyway, missions is not a threat to the church. It is a triumph of the church. The church is not on the way to the mission field, will become a mission field. Also, missions is not a maybe, it is a must. So say, well, maybe I'll be involved. No. If you're a child of God and a member of the local New Testament church and you believe that God established the church and gave the commission, missions is not a maybe. It's a must. It's a must. And so that's something to think about. Missions. Also, missions is not a Baptist financial gimmick. You know, everybody has gimmicks and frauds and whatever you call them, but missions is not a Baptist financial or any other kind, but not a Baptist financial gimmick or fraud. It is revival of an old truth that has always been in the Bible. And so bear that in mind. So anyway, that's it. Now you have your Bibles. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. I'm speaking tonight, Lord willing, and the reason I have the young people here is because, not to harambe, by the way, kids, but I just failed to mention that this morning, but we're going to have a little something here that somebody said, that's kind of childish. Well, if it's childish, let's all be children, okay? Yes, may not be childish. But I hope it's informative, what I have in mind. But I'm speaking tonight basically on what is the world? What in the world is our world? What in the world is our world? And what are the nations? Is there a difference, kids, young people? Is there a difference between world and nations? We're going to find out about it in a little bit. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 14. There the scripture, and this gospel, there are three words that will stand out tonight in the message. Basically, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. Now, if you'll notice in that passage of scripture, it says there that this gospel of the kingdom, that's the main thing, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world and as a witness among all nations. There is a difference. Now, if you'll turn in your Bible, and you'll turn over to Luke chapter 24 and verse 45. Luke chapter 24, verse 45. I know these are familiar verses, and these are verses that are used oftentimes in mission conferences. And then I'm going to get to my text. These are just kind of a forerunner to what we're talking about. So we're talking tonight about the gospel, the world, and nations. So what is our text? Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness among all nations. Then shall the end come. Then in Luke chapter 24 and verse 45. Then opened he their understanding. That's Jesus, the resurrected Savior. He's risen from the grave, and five times he gives to us what we call the Great Commission. Now, I know that's familiar to all of us, just for reviewing. By the way, a mission conference is a review of what we're doing, right? We'll have our mission come. All right. So, he says here, this gospel of the kingdom, I beg your pardon, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins shall be preached in his name among where? All, say it, young people, all nations. And then shall the end come. Then if you'll turn, we'll get over to Matthew in just a few moments. Now I want to turn to our text, and for this I have you to stand. In Matthew, or in John's Gospel chapter 3, probably the most familiar chapter in the Bible, and in John 3:16, the most familiar verse. I said I wasn't going to have you stand, but I think it's proper for us to read these Scriptures with you standing. And then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into our message. As I said a moment ago, a missions conference which is coming up is a revival of the Great Commission. It's also a reminder to us we live in a world of near 8 billion people. A missions conference is all the time when we will review our faith, and then we will renew our commitment, and then hopefully there will be new recruits that shall take the place of us old folks that won't be here probably next year. You see, this generation, of all of us that are here, this generation must do all we possibly can to reach this generation with the gospel, but we must also be mindful we need to be preparing young people, young adults, to go out into all the world to preach the gospel to the next generation, which will be twice as many as we have today. I think you've heard this before, but when I entered into the ministry, by the way, it'll be said, Lord willing, if I live until July, when I actually started ministry, I came home from World War II and got back active in my local church, Inglewood Baptist Tabernacle. And in July, I was asked to teach a class of young high school boys. And that was a challenge. That was a challenge. But anyway, from then till now, that's 75 years, I think, from July of 1946 until this year of 2021. That's about what? Is that 75 years? God's been good to me. And praise God for it, that I've had the privilege. But I say all that to say this, that I'm not going to be here much longer. And we also need to be mindful that the Lord is coming, and we need to be mindful of reaching people for Jesus Christ. So when I get into my message tonight, I have basically three points. I have the messages, information, instruction, and involvement. And then that's the main words, and then we'll have some subtitles to go along with that. Okay, so John chapter 3 and verse number 14 says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now verse 16, how many of you know that by memory? All of you. So I think just about everybody knows John 3:16. And that's a verse that just everybody memorized, isn't it? So John 3:16. Now, when we get to the word world, you'll notice it several times. When you get to the word world, I just pause and then you say world, okay? So John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then in verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And verse 19, I'll add that to it. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and all men love darkness, rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Let's ask the Lord's blessings upon us tonight. God, we thank you tonight, our Father in heaven, for the joy and privilege of being in your house. Thank you, Lord, for this congregation, this church, that is in God the Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. And your grace and mercy has been extended to them by the Father, God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for that, dear Lord. Now I pray, Lord, as we've assembled together tonight, and as the Word of God goes forth, as we've had great singing, I pray, Father, that we might tune our hearts in on to what is the world. We'll give you thanks for it. Bless our pastor tonight. He'll be preaching here in a few moments, no doubt, there in the church in Alamogordo. And I pray, Lord, the final service might be a crowning service of their mission conference. Pray that you'll give them traveling mercies back to our church on this coming Wednesday. Tomorrow, coming home and being here, pray that you'll bless them, pastor and dear wife, as they come. We pray also that you'll watch all over our people today and all of those that are here in the congregation and those that are streaming. Many will be going back to school and back to work tomorrow. I pray that you'll keep them safe and sound and looking unto thee. And I do pray, Father, that in this service, if the Spirit of God speaks to the hearts of those that surrender their life, that they might do so by the leading of the Spirit of God. And if there's any one person tonight, man, woman, boy, or girl, that's not sure that they're on their way to heaven, I pray they might be born again even this night. So thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. And God's people said,
amen.
Thank you so much. You may be seated. When you look into this portion of Scripture, so first of all, I want to talk a little bit about information. And the information, which is, what is our world? And so this is where I need two tall young people. Two young people, probably the tallest ones. Who's the tall guys back there? Okay, come right on up here, man. If you'll just let us do something here just for a moment. It's for everybody. But come on up here for just a moment. And we are going to look and see what is the world. So our thought is, what is the world? And let's see if I got something on here. Yeah. Okay. If you'll unravel that, you two guys grab that and hold it up, okay? Okay. That the world's upside down. That's exactly what they were saying in Thessalonica. They said, after we got done with those five verses in Acts chapter 17, said, these have all come here and have turned our world upside down. Well, the world is upside down, and it wasn't done because of them. Well, they were doing it then. What we need to do, the world's upside down, we need to do all we can to try and turn the world back up.
Amen.
Put it on its right side. So, is that as high as you can hold it? There you go. Okay, well. Yeah, there you go, stretched out. Now, this is the world. How many continents are there, young people?
Seven.
Seven, okay. And there are, in the seven continents, there are about 250 to 300 countries. And with the islands of the sea, there may be more, but about 250 to 300 countries. That is, they're sovereign countries and sovereign that have their own flag and constitution, what have you. So that's... So then there's about 8 billion people in the world, as I mentioned a moment ago. 8 billion people. Now, let me just explain that just briefly. When I entered into the ministry, when I entered into the ministry 75 years ago, in 1946, in that period of time, there were about 3 billion people on planet Earth. Now, think about it. When I was born in 1925, there were only about 2 billion people on Earth. And so from the time that Noah stepped off the ark until 1925, the population of the world had grown to 2 billion. Now, that's further than I can count, but anyway, 2 billion. By 1950, when I was entered the 46-50 area, into the ministry, the population was 3 billion. Now, 75 years later, the population, according to those that are counting, I don't know if they can get it, I don't see how they get it, but no matter. According to statisticians today, the population of the world is approximately 8 billion. Think about it. In 75 years, the world has grown from 3 to 8 billion. How many increases is that? 5 billion. That's a lot of people, isn't it? So now, just another factor or two, we're talking about information. What is our world? This is just information. But it gives us some idea what we need to be thinking about as far as the world is concerned. Now, so in the world, you tired yet?
No.
You're doing great. By the way, if anybody wants one of these sticks, you go to the Farm Fest in October, and there's a little booth over there, and they'll give you the seven word wordless book, and you'll have a nice stick. And I don't have any cows to beat it on, and I don't have any grandkids to beat on it. Okay, now, so the continent of North America, that's this continent right here. North America, the United States and Canada is a continent. The United States and Canada is only 4% of the 8 billion people. Only 4% of the world's population are in North America. And then you have, of course, South America, and you have Africa, and you have Asia, and you have Australia and Antarctica. Okay, well, anyway, those continents. And so now what I want you to really point out is when I say there are 8 billion people, that right there is India. Is that India? Mm-hmm. See that little yellow spot right there? That's India. What missionary do we have in India? Sam Thomas? Yeah, Sam Thomas. Sam Thomas. And think what a great ministry they have in India. Anyway, India is about one third. You can get down just a little bit. Your arm is tired. Okay, not too far, but anyway. otherwise, you guys, Moses, we'll get somebody. We'll get Aaron to hold their hands up. So, India is one third the size of the United States. So, for one third? If you were to go to St. Louis and arrive at the Mississippi River, which starts up in Minnesota, you go to Mississippi all the way north, all the way south to New Orleans, and put everything on the east side. There'll be all the states on the east side of the Mississippi River. That's about one third the size of the United States. Now think about it. If you were to take that area, one third the size of the United States, and put in 1,300,000,000 people that live in this little place of India. It's incredible when you think about it, isn't it? The population of that one country, 1,300,000,000. Then you take China. Now, China, land-wise, is as large as North America. And there's 1,400,000,000. That means that's about as much as all of North America. North America, the United States and Canada, has about 400,000,000 Mossamanas. And so there you get that continent. That's China, a China that has 1,400,000,000. Now, when you compare that with the population of the United States, that means that in China, part of Asia, it's not all of Asia, it's part of Asia. When you take China and compare that with the continent of North America, that means that there's 1 billion people more in China. One country, large country, but one country, than in all of North America. So that just gives you a few things about the population side. Okay, that'll do it, I think. By the way, here's Australia. Anybody in Australia that you know? Oh, I'm looking at you. Okay, and we had the letter we had was from Washington State, wasn't it, tonight? But anyway, about how many missionaries does this church help to support? About 100, I think. Is that right? Where's Brother Harris? He went home. Okay, I'm sorry. He's celebrating his anniversary. He went home. Is that you over there, David?
You said 96.
96. Oh, okay. I knew it was. I can't see him, but I knew he didn't go home. I'm just kidding. It's terrible to be a kidder, isn't it? Okay, well, anyhow, what was I talking about? Besides the anniversary. Okay, 96. We support 96 missionaries. Think about it. 96 missionaries that are in, I think, how many countries? 40? Do you know that? So, there are about 250 countries in the world. Now, naturally, we cannot go to all the countries. That, of course, is a fact. And when you're talking about facts and figures, you have to be reasonable to consider. Well, but those that are on the mission field, there's plenty of room for others, as well as in America. Now, there's a great need for churches in America, and there's a lot of emphasis being put on home missions in the United States of America. And we must not let up on that. We need to be seen. All these young people, there's a place for everybody. Everybody has a place in the house of God. If you stay faithful to the Lord, you stay faithful to the Lord, God has a place for you. It might be as a Sunday school teacher. It might be as a deacon. It might be as a pastor or missionary. And for the ladies, the same. God has a place for every one of us in His presence. God saves every one of us to be involved in something in the work of the Lord. What part are we playing as individuals, what part are we playing as individuals in the evangelization of the world? No one can say, I don't want any part. You cannot say that. Because everyone has to be involved if you believe in God and the Great Commission. Thank you so much, guys. You can just lay it down here anywhere. You won't have to roll it up. So just toss it right over here out of the way. Okay. Well, they did a good job. Thank you very much. So anyway, we give you just a few facts and figures. But we're talking about, so now we're talking about the world. Go into all the world. When Jesus said, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God loved the world and He gave His only begotten Son. John 3:16, right? So what is in our world, in the Bible, when we talk about the gospel, this gospel shall be preached in all the world as a witness among all nations, then shall the end come. When we think about the world in the Bible, the word world is mentioned 252 times. 252 times mentioned in the Bible. It is mentioned 206 times in the New Testament. It is in John's Gospel, which we just read, in John's Gospel 77 times, and then in the Epistles, in the Gospels 59 times. John's Gospel 77 times in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, and Luke is mentioned 59 times, and in the Epistles 18 times. So that's how you have the mention of the word world. Then you have the word nation. The nation, and I'll not dwell long upon that nation. In the nations of the world, well, I had that written down too. But the nations are mentioned 438 times in the Bible. I need to make one thing clear. What is the difference between the world and nations? When he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When he says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness among all nations. So the word nation, it means people groups. So when you're thinking about the populations of the world, and God who created the world, but the world he's talking about is people. People that came from the ark, and then it has grown to what it is today. But in this world of 8 billion people, 250 some countries or more, there is the nations. The nations means people groups. Let me just give just a quick word since we're having a Bible study here tonight. Information. If it's, for example, it's said that there are some 18,000 nations or different or people groups. Now, when you think about people groups and nations, and each one, for example, if you go to Oklahoma, or most anywhere, but if you go to Oklahoma, there's a large sign somewhere along I-44, either that or 59 South, where it said there's five civilized nations. And I mentioned five Indian tribal nations, the Seminoles and Choctaws and Cherokee, etc. And so each one is a nation, yet they're American citizens, but they are nations, they are sovereign nations. That just gives you one. If you go to Kenya, for example, there's about 55 different tribal groups, and they all are separate nations, have their own language, and separate language. The culture is similar, but yet a little different. The same way you go to Europe. All the countries of Europe, and what is their brother Spulstra? I think there are around 36 countries in Europe now, the whole continent of Europe, something like that, because some have been divided up. But anyhow, all the countries of Europe, every one of those have different languages. And then you go to Holland, for example, where the Spulters are, and they go to Friesland. The Friesland, they have their own language, and they think they've got the only language in the world. But not really. And then you can go in another province, and it's Groningen. And the Groningens, they think the Friesians are dumb, and they've got their own. And then you've got the Netherlands language. So that just gives you a little idea. There's languages of buku languages all over the world. So anyhow, this is the kind of world we live in. Now, let me move into just another thought, and I need to hurry on here. We are in the world of nations, the world of peoples, and the languages, so many thousands of hundreds or 5,000 different languages, they say. But anyway, all of the languages, all the people groups. Then what are we facing as a church and as a fellowship and as believers here in the United States of America? By the way, the United States is only 4% of the world's population, and yet 80% of all mission work done in the world is done by the United States of America. Has God blessed America? And whatever. So our missionaries, when our missionaries go to the foreign fields, and the fields that they're in, as I said this morning, they are not invited, they're invaders. But they go. Now think about it, going to any South American country, for example, except Brazil, every South American country is Spanish. It is Spanish, and it's 90 to 95% Spanish, and are 90 to 95% Catholic. It's Roman Catholic. So when a missionary goes, he's not welcome, and they will face trouble and persecution. That's why God's people in God's house and other fellowship churches like faith that we are a part of, that we need to be praying together for our missionaries. Pray that the missionaries will have, because it is not easy. Go to a Muslim country, go to China. And of course, the missionaries that go to China, it's an underground situation. I've been there and I visited some underground churches. And I tell you what, it's very, very precarious. But they go there because this is where God placed them, and they go forth secretly and privately and preach the gospel and win souls to Christ, and they in turn are reaching others. Religion, all the religions of the Muslim countries, where if you go there, if a Muslim becomes a believer, he'll either be killed by a family member or he'll be put out. You just cannot live in a Muslim country. Saudi Arabia or all those other countries, as a population being Muslim, and survive if you are a native of that country and you profess Jesus Christ, someone brings you the gospel, you are owned by the grace. They suffer for their faith, and God watches over. So to be absent from the body for all those that are put to death, it's heaven. So this is the religions. Now we're not dealing with other things, but the conditions in the world, the conditions in America, it challenges us. And if we're not afraid, we want to pull in our wings, fold up our wings and gather in. It's not safe out there. In America there, the condition of America is unbelievable, getting worse and worse and worse all the time. And you know about that. But I'm saying to you, beloved, it is God's people and God's church empowered by the Holy Spirit that have the truth and have the gospel, that we must do what we can to reach people in our own city, in our own community. And that brings me now to my second point. So that's a little bit about information. But I do say concerning the world today that we're living in, the Bible does say that the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59 that there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The wicked are like the troubled seas whose water cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. They can talk peace all they want to in Washington or anywhere else, and there is no peace in this world when there's all the wickedness. And that's why God's people, righteous people, it is the righteous that must survive and do survive and must also be a witness. We shall be a witness to those in this world. So, in the information, there are many passages of Scripture which I won't take time. I've taken too much time on this first one. But anyhow, just to be reminded, in Psalm 9, verse 16, I think I read that quote. No, in Psalm 9, verse 9, verse 16, the Lord is known by the judgments which exceedeth the wicked. Let's try it again. Psalm 9, 16. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executes. The wicked, my eyes are dim, I'm sorry. The wicked are snared by the works of their own hands. And then what? Yes, and then verse 7, then the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. So we are living in a world that is wicked, but they're headed for hell. What are you and I going to do about that? This is what we must be mindful of. So when we have, first of all, information, then we have instruction. That's the second thing I want you to know. The instruction is that God sent His Son. God sent His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Why did God send His Son into this world? The Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, and they said, you're going to call His name Jesus. His name shall be Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Luke 19:10 says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. There's also, as Timothy, after the epistles were written, by inspired by the Holy Spirit, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus Christ came to this world to say that God sent His Son so that He might be. So what did God, when God sent His Son came, was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, and entered upon His ministry. And when He entered upon His ministry, Jesus first Jesus gave His Son. And so He instructed, this is what I want to get to. And so the second thing I want to say about, He instructed His disciples, those that He selected to start His church, He trained them. Amen. He trained them so that they could go forth. And He started a church. He taught them in all of the things that they needed to know when they were sent out on their own after the resurrection. But it was a time of instruction. And so I said that's why I put this in here, instruction. And for He says in John chapter 8, in verse number 31, you might want to look at John chapter 8. Turn your Bible, John chapter 8. The first point that I gave to you this morning or this evening is instruction or information. And that leaves us with the task that is challenging. When you think about the task that lies before us, it's a challenge. Amen? It is a challenge. But then when you think about the second thought, because we are not of this world. We are a divine institution. And He says in John chapter 8 and verse number, chapter 8 and verse 31, and Jesus then said, Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And verse 36 says, if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now that's an absolute, by the way. We were talking this morning, essentials, which are absolutes. The truth is an absolute. Amen. This Word of God, it is absolute, infallible, inerrant. It is God's inspired, infallible Word of God. And it is a guidebook for God's people. He says, ye shall know the truth. As He said also in that same 8th chapter of John's Gospel, I think it's verse 44, He said, ye are of your father the devil. And He was a liar from the beginning. And so when we talk about some people talk about the universal God, universal hood of God and the brotherhood of man, there's no such a thing as that except it's all Satan. But we are truth. We bear the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The reason that we are able to sit here in the house of God tonight and know that we are the children of God is because we have received the truth. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That is the instruction. And we need, as I said a moment ago, we need to be instructing. Now, Jesus instructed His disciples, preparing them for their ministry. He spent 3 years teaching them. And we have what we have here as a church and as a young people. And what a church of young people. Children and young people. It's amazing. Amen. And Brother Chris Gamble said this morning, we need to be mindful praying for our children. I agree with that totally. We need to pray for our children that they grow up in a church like this. Pray for the family, that family will have wisdom raising their children. As it was said about Timothy in chapter 3, verse 15, Paul said to Timothy, and from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Young people, when you memorize the Scripture in your youth, parents, when you teach your children to read the Scripture and memorize the Scripture, you are preparing them for what God has for them in coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior first of all. That is the most important thing. A family, the most important thing, we as fathers and grandfathers, as fathers raising a family, the most important thing we can do is to teach our children that God loves them and that Jesus died for them and that they need to be saved. And it begins in the home of churches like the families like we have in our church. Right. But think about it with me. But there are thousands and thousands and thousands of young people and children that are out there all around us that have no spiritual training, no religious training at all. Who's going to give it to them if they ever get any? Berean Baptist Church? Other churches like it? If we don't do it, it will not be done. And we're living in a period, it's another fact, according to some statisticians, 60 million young people from birth to age 18 receive no spiritual training at all in the present time. Only 20% of the population in America, according to, I think it's Gallup poll or Christian, one of the Christian polls, only 20% of the population are attending church on a regular basis like you all that are here tonight. Think about it. We are living in destitute times, and we must be mindful that God loved the world, He loved you, and you were saved. And now we have the responsibility. And that does bring me to, I'm going to bring it to a close. That does bring me to the third point tonight, involvement. Not only do we have information, just think when you begin to think the task that is challenging. But then when you know that you have the truth that changes, then we need to be involved. That's why that little song we were singing tonight, Go Ye, Go Ye. When Jesus said, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. That was not a maybe, that's a must. That was given to us, the church, after the resurrection. Mark said it. And then Luke, which we read a moment ago, that we are to be witnesses among all nations. And then in Matthew, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. In Matthew he said, therefore, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That means go ye and evangelize. That's the task. Evangelize, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and the promise, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Hallelujah for the promise and the hope. But that's our task. That's our involvement. We must be involved. I was so blessed here about 3 or 4 Sundays ago. Brother Tim and Connie Dunlap invited me to come down to the junior class. Junior high class, and wanted to know if I wouldn't give a testimony. I was so amazed. Been here 15 years, and that's the first time I've been invited. Time or two, I wanted to go down and just check, but I thought, well, what's that old man doing down here, checking up on us? No. I used to do, when I was pastoring the church, every once and again, I would take out and go visit the Sunday school department, just see what's going on. But I was so amazed. I went to Brother Mr. Dunlap's class downstairs, and about 10 minutes, maybe 5 minutes before 10 o'clock, there were a dozen young people there. Some of you right here now, aren't you? You were in that class, right? I see some nods. Okay. So anyway, about 5 minutes before 10 o'clock, Brother Dunlap got up behind the pulpit, and he said, "Let's do our sword drill. Everybody, hold your Bible up." And the first one had the scripture, found it, Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 5 or something. Boom! Somebody jump up, and then put a mark on the blackboard. They had a good time just sword drill, the old-fashioned sword drill. And then, that was enough. So then he said, well, let's review our verses. We're teaching the Ten Commandments, and all of the Ten Commandments are on the wall downstairs, in that room, in that department. And so, let's say the commandments. One by one, he says, give me the 10th commandment, or give me the 4th commandment. Somebody, one of them would jump up and give it, really quote it, the brief quotation of the commandment. And that is foundational. And then he said, now what's our memory verse? And then they're starting on the Roman road, I think it was, and so they had Romans 3:23 or Romans 3:20 or something like that, and gave that. And by the time they got done with all of that, the excitement that was there, and yet it was all about young people being involved in instruction. Amen. Instruction. God bless. I tell you what, when you have classes like that, and I assume it's the rest of the classes, and the 10 commandments, there is no better study for a church of young people and all adults. Well, we're getting here an auditorium Bible class from Brother Chris. Excuse me. My mind went blank.
Gamble.
Brother Chris Gamble. Absolutely incredible. But the Ten Commandments. Our nation was founded upon the Ten Commandments.
Yes, sir.
And our churches, you say, well, we're not, it's the fulfilling of the law by Jesus, but it's not eliminated. And if we would practice the Ten Commandments, which in the world today, in our nation today, there is not one commandment that's being obeyed. Every one of them are broken. And it's sinful, and God's judgment is coming. So I'm saying to you tonight, instruction, it is vital. And keep on teaching, preaching the Word of God, because our pastor emphasizes that all the time. Read your Bible, and I just add with that, read your Bible, memorize the Scripture. Memorize, memorize, memorize. Saturate your soul with the Scripture. And when we do that, we get mindful of going into all the world with the Gospel. Yes, it is the Gospel that has to go into the world. And who's going to do it? It has to be God's people. Go ye into all the world and preach the Gospel. Yes, we need to teach. We evangelize, we baptize, and we teach all things. God help us to do that. And if we do that, I'll close with this, the investment. The investment. Look in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus.
Amen.
Time that parents take to teach and train their children, and children that take time to read the Bible and good books, and pray the family together, praying, it makes a difference. It will make a difference in your home, but it will make a difference in our church, and we can make a difference in our community. It takes a team to do it together. Think what we can do together, and together everyone achieves more in our involvement. So when we're working together, the purpose, the Sunday school class, from this department to the next department to the next department, until they are prepared to go out into the work of the Lord. And by the way, Sunday school is very vital. 95 in the past, I don't know what it is today, because our Sunday schools are declining, unfortunately, and consequently there's that many more people not being reached with the Gospel. I know it's tough, and I'm not there, so I'm not going to tell you how to do it or it can't be done. But anyway, we just need to be mindful. God is not dead. And God is not, and by the way, God's not broke. I didn't talk about faith promise. But may your faith be increased. But we also, just by faith, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then in that verse of Scripture we close with tonight, Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. All the time that you are making an investment, when you are teaching and training and witnessing and soul winning and telling people about Jesus and passing out gospel tracts, never be without gospel tracts in your pocket. You never know where the seed is going to be sown. It'll work. So go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come into the house of God. And so in Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation. When we stand in his presence, there are going to be people from Australia, Brazil, Mexico, Sri Lanka. I read in the last prayer book, the last prayer letter in Sri Lanka, over Christmas time, that the UNRUs had 18 people come to know Christ as Savior.
Amen.
And so, there's one other thing I want to say tonight. I meant to say it in the beginning. Our new prayer book, Catholics have prayer books. We have our prayer volume, or whatever it is. But our prayer letters put together. About a year ago, they came up with it. Pastor and I think Brother Ligon came up with the idea of having a bio on this side. I have enjoyed that bio because I have a chance to see the picture of the missionary and then where he came from and what he's doing and where he is. and then read the letter, give the report. It is excellent. Brother Harris, I think maybe you might have taken it over at the pastor, but whoever, I hope we just keep that going. Amen? But I say all that to say that these booklets will keep you informed on those 96 missionaries that you and I have a part in. I encourage you to read the prayer letters when you get them. And God will bless you for it. You will be blessed by it. So, anyhow, the investment. We are making an investment. And when we come to you, when you get to our mission conference, when we get to our missions conference, and we renew our faith promise commitment, and do what God has laid upon our hearts to do, it will be to go continue to go forth to evangelize.
Amen.
And that's our task. The task is challenging. The truth will change. But the work is worth it all.
Amen.
The investment. It's worth it all when we see Jesus.
Amen.
Let's stand together, please. Thank you, young people, for being here on the front row. Thank you, guys, for helping out tonight. Young ladies, God bless you, each one.